Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to Bridge the Atlantic, where we get to know the people behind the creative industries and the advice they would share for their fellow creatives. We're your hosts, music web designer Ross Barber, owner of Electric Kiwi, where we create awesome custom websites for bands, artists, and musicians.
And I'm singer-songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, and indie filmmaker, Marcio Novelli.
Joining us this week is South African singer-songwriter Nate Maingard. Nate is a modern troubadour, storyteller, global nomad, and indie folk singer-songwriter. His approach to music is communication and connection driven, and as a result, he's built up an incredibly loyal fan base called The Natives.
In 2012, Nate was awarded the South African National Arts Festival Ovation Award and recorded his crowdfunded In the Shadows EP in London with musicians who have worked with Adele, Paul McCartney, and Jason Mraz. We're excited to talk about why he creates music and how he builds connections with his audience right now. Hey, Nate, how's it going?
Hi, guys. It's going really well. I'm really, really glad to be here. We got it. We were here.
We have attempted to do this before and it did not work out. So we're really happy to have you on. I just have to say that was quite the mouthful of a bio.
Yeah, I noticed your face when you were saying the South African National Arts Festival Ovation Award.
And
it's a lot to say.
Adele, Paul McCartney, Jason Mraz. I think maybe I've heard of one of them, or, you know, I don't know. Maybe, you know what? Maybe that our listeners should go like check them out. I always do this really corny joke like that. I'm sorry. I apologize now. I'm just so cheesy. Let's go into the good stuff and have you tell us three things about yourself that everyone should know.
One is that I've chosen to be vulnerable in a world that tells us that we need to be strong and have a firm exteriors. Another is that I love surfing. Another is that I make probably some of the best superfood smoothies in the world.
Dude, you and I are like this. The surfing thing I've never done. I want to do it so bad. I was just in Santa Monica not too long ago and I saw everyone. I was doing my morning runs along the beach barefoot, although you probably shouldn't do that in case someone left like a needle around or something. But and I'm just watching these people surf and I'm like, I want to try that so badly. But the green superfood smoothies, man, you're in my world. And the idea of not having to live up to this idea of what someone tells us we're supposed to be, you know, whether it's gender specific or just in general. I love you, man. This is awesome. Yeah. This is going to be a good one.
Well, I mean,
yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, like I've been following Nate for a while. I think it was through Tommy Darker that I found you, actually. And I was just so impressed by everything you're doing. So one of the reasons that we wanted to have you on the show, apart from, you know, just general awesomeness, is because of the way that you treat your fans. So can you maybe tell us a little bit about why the support of your fans is so important to you and what you do to make them feel appreciated?
That's a good question. Thank you for asking it. I've tried to work this out myself because over the last few years, like one of the biggest things I have is people saying to me, wow, you make us feel so appreciated. And I'm like, why is that different to anyone else? Why isn't that normal? So I suppose what I'm doing that's different is that I don't assume that there are these masses of people out there who are going to love what I do. I'm really grateful and I'm deeply aware that every single individual who listens to my music or chooses to engage is an individual who has an important life that they're busy with, that they got stuff going on. They got like good days and bad days. And yet for whatever reason, they choose to send me a message, to press play on one of my songs, to give me a comment, to become a patron. They choose to make that extra little piece of effort in their lives that they didn't have to make. And so for me, the appreciation comes out of the place of like, I just feel like they're all just normal people, like I'm a normal person trying to do our best to live good lives and share quality experiences with people. And if they choose to connect with me, I'm fucking grateful, man. Like that's as simple as it is.
I love it, Nate. And it's right up my alley, man. I feel the same way. It's just, you have to appreciate every single thing you have. It comes down to, I think, your mindset and the way you live your life too, having gratitude, you know, and not taking things for granted and realizing, like you said, these are real people that don't need to listen to you, especially today, man. There's so much out there and it's so oversaturated. I can't say, am I saying that right?
Oversaturated.
That's one of those words I can't say today.
You're oversaturated.
Oversaturated, yeah. You know, that when they take the time to listen to something that we're creating, it's just like, wow, like, thank you so much. You know, some people do have the, I think, the mentality of, what's the word I'm looking for?
There's still too much like self-entitlement. Entitlement around.
That's
I think
like for some time,
you know, no one owes you a living, no one owes it to you that they need to listen to your music. So you're right, like you have to make people feel appreciated and thank, you know, show that you're thankful for them.
So you crowdfunded your In the Shadows EP, which I partially funded my debut full-length solo album as well, crowdfunding, which is kind of like, nice. It feels weird, you know, but it's also basically just a pre-order, but before you make the album. So why the hell not, right? So I'd love to have you tell us a little bit about your experience crowdfunding and what the hell did you learn throughout the process?
I learned that I knew very little before I started, and that I, you know, like since then I've actually spoken with so many interesting people who are more involved in crowdfunding. Like I spoke with she's like the marketing head of Indiegogo in the UK, such an interesting lady, Anastasia. I went to a talk that she gave and she said so many valuable, valid things about pre-prep and planning and post timing. And I was like, wow, I did none of that. And it's what I realized is it actually can be a very stressful experience, and that to have as much planning happen, to spend at least a month or even 2 months before getting ready. Like not, and also then doing the pre-launch. Like I didn't do any pre-launch. I just launched it. I was like, I'm doing this thing. It's live now. Instead of being like, hey guys, this is coming up, and getting like maybe 10 or 20 people who I knew were going to pledge straight away. Like those little things of like, if you have the time, pre-prep as much as possible, have a team if possible, have like a bunch of other cool people who want to help out. I did it by myself and it was intense. And the areas that I feel like I really did well was my rewards. I found them easy enough to fulfill, where I know a lot of people struggle with that. They overpromise and then they underdeliver. Whereas I think I kind of underpromised, overdelivered, which I think is a better way to go about things. Just anywhere in life, just like I suck, and then get up, and you're kind of awesome. And
no, exactly, because you lower expectations. Yeah. Like, oh, he wasn't shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to start doing that. Yeah. You know, why'd you go with Indiegogo? Because I actually went with Indiegogo as well. But the thing I didn't like about Indiegogo is that it showed the money. And I kind of the only, like, I like the transparency, but I also didn't, like, I don't feel like people care or need to know about the money side of things. Even though they're giving you money, they don't need to know the total amount you need. And that felt awkward.
I think that's a very interesting point. I actually didn't go with Indiegogo. It was, I went with something called Music Razor, which was an Italian-based crowdfunding website, and they're focused on Music Razor, specifically on musicians.
Okay.
And at the time, I was thinking about doing an EP, and they actually wrote to me. They headhunted me, basically. One of their people was looking on the internet, and she found my stuff. I was like, we love what you do. If you do want to raise funds, we'd be honored if you do it through us. We're trying to spread into more international markets. So I did it with them, and it worked, and it was great. And they also do show the amount. Since then, I've obviously heard about Pledge Music, which I think is probably doing it the best out of all the crowdfunding platforms. And I would be very tempted to go with them the next time. And at the same time, I'm with Patreon, and on Patreon, you can see exactly how much money I'm getting every month. And so that's like, I have mixed feelings about that at the moment.
Me too. I'm in the same position.
I'm feeling less positive about it now than I did initially. I do feel like it creates a perceived success where people go, oh, he's making that much money. He's doing good. You know, like, well, I don't need, whereas they don't know what goes on in the back. Like I get so many people saying to me, wow, you live the most beautiful, chill out life. And yes, I have developed and built a life that I'm very proud of, the way that I get to simplify and live my life. But I've put a hell of a lot of work into that, a lot of time and effort that people don't see, a lot of resources that doesn't get seen. And so when people have this perception of, oh, look how much money he's making, he's doing great, I'm like, you have no idea actually what my expenses are. You don't see that side of it. So,
well, just
so
like yeah, any business, so, as you're getting more money, and if you're smart, you're investing just as much, if not more.
Right, exactly.
So I actually wanted to, this is, I want to ask you about shit, what we do, Ross. Sponsor, I get Patreon. Yeah. Patreon. You know, I've been tempted to do that for myself as well. But I'd love your advice, and I'm asking because I am also a musician. I'm sure there's other musicians listening right now. Just transparently, like, how should I get started on that? You know, I've been weary about where to start, especially because I'm going to be doing a crowdfund for my album soon. It's like, I don't want to just be like, give me money, give me money, give me money. You know, like, how do you find you manage your Patreon, you know, and how do you feel about that? How do you, you know, what's your comfort level with that?
Well, for me, Patreon has become like my primary source of not only income, but sort of emotional feedback regarding my art. I mean, these humans around the world are really like super fans and super awesome people, like very generous, very kind. And so my relationship with them, so in terms of getting started, I didn't know this when I got started because I just heard about it on the CD Baby podcast. I was listening to it. I can remember it was March 2014. And I listened to Jack Conti talking about Patreon. And I just, as soon as I heard it, I was like, this makes sense for me, exactly for what I do, because my stuff isn't commercial. It's not really, it's so much more about real connection. And so I launched it a week later, and within a short space of time, you know, people were pledging, and a lot of people were pledging and have continued to pledge. And so for me, it was what I came to understand through that is that I have an incredibly supportive community, and I have an incredibly supportive community because I'm totally honest and I'm totally, like I said earlier, vulnerable. And so I would say for anyone thinking of launching, if you don't want to do it the way that I did, which is just like throw yourself in and see what happens, maybe have a clear sense of what kind of a community it is that is growing around your art. Are they the kind of community that love that deep engagement where they really get that they're a community and they get the power that they have to value your art and create something with you out of it? Or are they more the kind of people who just want to come to your live shows or that, you know, whatever? I think for each of us, we have to find our and define our relationship with our audience as individuals, and it's unique for each of us. So I would say that a lot of people get disappointed with Patreon because they think Patreon will get them patrons. Patron, it doesn't do that. Like I could have started something with PayPal, or I could have started like a little mail orders thing, and I think it would have had the same impact, because the fact of it is that the people supporting me on Patreon want to support me regardless of what I'm using. They love my art and they love me and what I'm bringing into the world, and I appreciate them, and so we have developed a relationship, and through that relationship, Patreon is how we're currently sort of exchanging value.
Yeah, Patreon makes it easier. Makes it easy to put it all out there. Yeah, it's great. And I mean, they only take a small, because we use it for the show, and we've just recently started, and we've gotten a few patrons, and it's really exciting to see like, hey, we're doing something we do anyway, and you're supporting us and giving us a bit more of a boosting our morale to keep going and doing that, you know? So I love everything you said, because as an artist, that's kind of the idea is, you know, the more and more fans can help, I hate saying fans, you know what I mean? But like community can help us do what we're doing, the less other shit we have to do to be able to make the music. Like we don't have to work other jobs. We can just keep making music. So yeah, I love that you're doing that, man.
Well, what is changing? It's actually part of a huge revolution, which I don't think I don't know how many people are aware of or are acknowledging, but the fact is that the value of art, and specifically I'm speaking of music in this sense, in this digital age, the value of music is often zero, or perceived as zero. Say that way, it's perceived as zero. So what's happening with things like Patreon and crowdfunding is that people are shifting the perception of the value of art, especially for me with Patreon, where like they're not getting, like someone who's pledging me $100 a month is not really getting anything more than someone who isn't pledging anything at all. What they're getting is the knowledge that through them valuing my art, I get to do it more. So they're as with any value, a value is always perceived. But what these people are doing is that they're re-educating themselves and the people around them to say, look, I value art and here's how much I can afford and I'm willing to give towards that value. Because art has, just because art isn't necessarily on a CD or a t-shirt, the fact that that song exists and had an impact in my life, that has value and I'm choosing to give based on that value. And that's like a massive revolution based on how things have been done for a while in the music industry.
Absolutely. We're cutting out the middleman, man.
Yay!
Perfect, you know, and I mean, people have spent millions and millions of dollars on music anyway, like, you know, billions of dollars, and, you know, the artists have gotten such a small fraction of that. So, I mean, if you're going to spend money on it anyways, why not give it directly to the artist? Right. I mean, you're giving me the extra push to just do that. You know, I don't know what my apprehension is, and I don't know, you know, there's the dichotomy inside me, you know, feeling, I don't know. It's that feeling of being afraid to ask people for something, but why the fuck am I afraid to ask people for something if they want to support me and I'm just giving them another way to, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think a few ways to kind of deal with that. One would be, if you haven't yet, but I'm pretty sure you have, but The Art of Asking, Amanda Palmer.
Yes. I haven't watched it yet. Yeah. I love Amanda Palmer.
Second thing, just please, The Art of Asking, watch that video, read that book. The second thing is ask your supporters before. Say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this thing, this Patreon, or make a video about however it is that you communicate with them. Ask them. Post that to your mailing list. Say, this is something I'm thinking about doing. And tell them, I'm scared. I feel trepidatious about this because I'm not sure. Am I just going to be watching the dust balls float by? Or is this something you guys think is worth me doing? What do you feel about? How would you like to support me? Because then you at least get to test the water before you leap in. You get to find out whether or not whether or not it's going to be appealing for your supporters or not.
And I love it, man. You're on the same wavelength as me because I totally believe in that honesty. You don't get a lot of that out there. I believe in just being honest. It's your real person. We're all a bunch of people.
Yeah,
just
totally.
Just talk to each other. No pretension. Yeah. No, just nothing fake. Just I love
just
it, man.
No, there's no barriers. There's no. Yeah, you know, there doesn't need to be this divide between artist and fan or audience or whatever you want to call it.
Especially when you're not mainstream, right? I mean, when you're mainstream, I know they're dealing with it a different way. But when we're doing what we're doing, it's a different world. We're not a part of that shit. I guess.
Yeah,
I think
there's been this huge buildup about, and it's natural as humans, we love mythologies, you know, so we want to put things onto pedestals so that we can aspire to them, like the Greek gods on Mount Olympus. I read something great the other day where someone's like, if you think you're being lazy, just think about the Greeks. They had all their gods lived on top of a really small mountain and no one bothered to climb up and go and like meet them, you know, like it's like there's this, we love the mythologies, but we don't want them to be too human.
Yeah.
And so like I see with art and with, you know, even movie stars and things like that, is we love to idolize these people as though they are something other than we are. And in many ways, I understand it for musicians, because what I'm doing as a musician is that I am taking the inexplicable mysteries of being human and I'm attempting to make sense of them in some way that people can relate to. That's kind of like a huge deal, but it doesn't mean that I'm anything out of the ordinary to anyone else.
Exactly.
Like, praise be. The amazing. I'm probably struggling more than a lot of people because I'm trying to work this shit out and it's intense. Uh-huh. So what I love is, you know, in drama, in theater, they have, what do they call it? Breaking the fourth wall.
Yes, of course. Talking to the audience.
The illusion of, exactly. Like breaking that illusion. So as a performer, for me, I'm not there to just entertain people, but I'm there to connect and to create, to reconnect that cyclic energy that moves between people so that they remember that what they see in me is what they're actually seeing in themselves. And the only way they can ever see something in me is through seeing it in themselves. And so suddenly it's, instead of them being like, he's totally amazing, they can be like, wow, we're totally amazing. Mm-hmm. Like if he's amazing, I must be amazing and we're all in it together. Anyway, I could go on, but
I love it, man.
It's all awesome. And that's why I reached out to you, because I want to speak to you more for the book that I'm writing, which is kind of all about, it's basically, in some ways I'm thinking it's just how to be Nate Maingard, because I think that you do, all the stuff that you're saying, I think you do it the right way. I think that
so
you have a lot to teach and a lot to say, and people can learn a lot from you. So
well, Ross, all that aside though, you just have a good energy though, man. Like that, I'm all about that. Like sure, you can be successful at what you're doing. You have advice to give. You can be knowledgeable. That's all okay. You know what I mean? But I think it's the energy you put out, the person you are. That's what resonates. It resonated with me the first 2 minutes we started talking. I mean, I get that right away. You know, you get a sense of somebody. And I dig your energy, man. And having said that, are you ready for 20 questions?
Yes, I'm ready. And
let's learn a little bit more about you.
I love that word.
I love it.
Yeah.
Coffee or tea?
Tea.
Meat or veggies?
Veggies.
TV or Netflix?
Netflix.
What's a TV?
Yeah.
Twitter or Facebook?
Twitter.
I thought you were going to say Instagram.
Yeah, I should have.
Yoga or yogurt?
Yoga. Yoga.
Friends or Seinfeld?
Friends.
Taking you back to the 1990s. Ross still lives in the 90s, just so you know. He's like, his mind is still there. Indie or major?
Indie.
Mm-hmm.
South Africa or the UK?
South Africa. Ooh, that's a tough one. South Africa.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
Canada or Scotland?
Oh, Canada. Oh, Canada.
He said it. It was instinctive.
I did.
It was instinct. Lennon or McCartney?
Lennon.
Okay, this can be controversial, but I think Lennon is such an inspiring person. But it's hard to say this, but I don't know. I think McCartney is the better songwriter. Maybe that's so subjective. I'm saying songwriter, maybe more in a pop sense, more like a
entertainer for sure.
Yeah. Well constructed. You know what I'm saying?
I've been falling more in love with him recently because I was very Lennon, and now I'm starting to just like give him a little more. You know, McCartney, he's cool too.
Of course.
Oh, look!
Oh, Loki's making an appearance.
Yes, hello, Loki. Yes, he always likes to be part of it, don't you?
Very cool.
So, education or experience?
Experience.
Authenticity or perfection?
Authenticity.
100%.
Now,
I'd be shocked if you said otherwise.
I think I'm basing this question on something I saw on your Twitter, but I could just be completely making this up. Amy Schumer or Amy Poehler?
Amy Schumer.
Yeah?
I heard she's got a boyfriend. I'm so sad. I thought she was the one. I was very excited. She's amazing.
She is awesome.
Yeah, she's pretty funny. Michael Jackson or Michael Bolton?
Michael Jackson. I don't know who Michael Bolton is.
Now, Michael Bolton, let's see. Ross, want to educate him on Michael Bolton?
I mean, I guess like Michael Bolton was like a heartthrob for mums in the 80s and early 90s.
He didn't do the one like my achy breaky heart kind of stuff.
No. He always had like a power grab and like overwrought. Oh, I don't know.
But, I mean, the most awesome thing about Michael Bolton was like he was in like a really like heavy rock band in the 70s, and then became like this sort of soulful, dude with like really really long wavy hair.
The power,
like every song, power grabs, and every song was a power ballad. Power dude. Like everything about him. Nice. We want to get him on the show. That will be like if we get him on the show, that'll probably be our last episode.
Yeah, I know. We probably just end it there.
Well, if we can get Michael Jackson on the show, that'd be incredibly impressive. And now from the afterlife, that would be it. Next,
Michael Jackson. Oprah comes in to do it. She's like Michael Jackson. And you got Michael Jackson, and you have Michael Jackson.
Celine Dion or Marilyn Manson?
Oh, damn. I thought I was going to go Marilyn Manson. Celine Dion. I don't know. I can't. Oh, it's tough.
They're so polar opposites.
I know, but they're both amazing in their right. Michael, let's go with Marilyn Manson. Celine Manson, exactly.
So, Ricky Gervais or Ricky Martin?
Ricky Gervais.
Oh yeah. He just doesn't give a shit.
No,
that's what I feel.
Nice.
He just doesn't give a shit. You know?
Yeah,
it's funny.
He's not trying to impress anybody, which is kind of cool. Or maybe he is by not giving a shit. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. That's his angle.
Yeah.
Whale or kale?
Whale.
Don't try to understand it, Nate.
Yeah, whale.
We don't understand
whale.
It. Bette Midler or the Riddler?
The Riddler. I don't know who Bette Midler is, but I like
you don't
the
know who Bette Midler is.
No.
And the final question is
Ross or Marcio?
Oh, no, I refuse. That is at the point that I throw down. I refuse to involve myself any further.
All right. I'm surprised. All right, we'll accept that. I'm glad you lasted that long. Some people have I think wanted to call it quits earlier than that.
Maybe
so
they have favorites. You both seem equally rad.
I disagree. I'll let you decide which way I'm leaning on there. If am I being self-effacing or am I hating on Ross? I'll let you decide.
No one knows. People can maybe vote about that on Twitter, and we'll see what they think.
Yes. Nate, what's in the pipeline for 2016, man?
You know, that's a very interesting question. I thought I knew up until just a few days ago when I had a new piece of information come my way, and now I'm entirely uncertain. I'll give you some potentials.
Would you like to share that new piece of information with us?
Okay, let me start with how it originally looked, my year.
Sure.
South Africa till May, kind of chilling, planning, not chilling, but planning. I've got like a lot that I've been planning for this year. So South Africa till May, planning and playing some shows, doing a bit of traveling around. And then the States I wanted to go to for a few months because I have lots of beautiful people I enjoy hanging out with there and I'd like to spend some time. And then I was going to come back to the UK and Europe and do an eco-village tour of the eco-villages in Europe as a platform from which to launch my next crowdfunding campaign for my album, which I wanted to record at the end of this year, which would be an entirely eco-friendly album. I want it to have like merchandise that's all like bamboo cutlery and just incredible things, like lots of exciting stuff. So that was kind of my year's plan. And then I heard on Facebook from a friend who has been working on a tiny island in the middle of Lake Malawi in Central Africa. And they have a very small eco lodge hotel there. And they need a host for like 6 months. And I may be that host.
No way.
So there's no internet there. It's like the island is 10 kilometers away from the shore. It's they've the clearest water. It's tropical. It's just like... And I've felt this calling in myself for a long time now, but really in the last 6 months, there's been this voice in me that's just getting louder and louder, asking me to take time and go inward into myself, separate from anyone else's perceptions of who I might be, separate from the world of social media, from this desire to project myself outwards into the world. But the desire is to go in, to work on my personal practices of meditation, of yoga, of music, of journaling, of writing, like to really take time to go deeper into my creative process. And this sounds like it might be the perfect opportunity for me to do that. Interestingly also allow me to do is to save the money that comes from Patreon, because it doesn't pay much the job. It pays a small amount, but I won't be spending any money. And the money from Patreon I could save directly to go towards my next album at the end of the year. So it might actually just feed straight into that, which would be perfect. So yes, that's kind of potential. It's not confirmed yet. A lot of people have applied for the job, so I don't know who's getting it. But
Nate, this is so weird. I think I've told Ross this before too. I've felt that same urge to just get away from everything, because especially social media, man. Social media keeps us so out there. And even as a writer, I don't feel like I do go inward, but not for as long and as deep as maybe I did 10, 15 years ago. You know what I mean? So yeah, I'm totally feeling that, man. I'm feeling that. That is awesome.
It's a big one. It's scary for me because I have worked so hard for the last few years to really connect with this beautiful global audience through social media primarily. And
there's a fear that you might lose their attention.
What if they'll just be like, well, he's gone. Let's find someone else. But my deeper feeling than that is that people will really get behind me on this and will really want to support me. And I will still have internet access like once a week, so I can still upload the things that I'm thinking about and creating. And it's just very slow, so it won't be like videos. So it feels like if it happens, it's meant to happen. If it doesn't, I'm totally cool with that as well. So at this point, I have no idea. My year is currently at a massive kind of fork, and I'm excited about both the forks. So either one would be.
I was going to say that's exciting, right? It's exciting to have the unknown, you know.
Yeah, I love it.
I love it. Where can people find you online, man?
They can find me. The easiest is just at my website, which is natemaingard.com. So Nate and then MAINGARD.com. Also, highly recommend Patreon. Just the best. There's some free stuff up there as well. I mean, my music's free available anyway, but Patreon for me is the future of how communities and artists will connect. So it's patreon.com/NateMaingard. If you just Google my name, you'll find it all.
Perfect. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, it's all Nate Maingard.
All of it.
Awesome. Everyone go check them out. And ask for
me. Sorry.
That's all right. And as for me, I'm working on my second solo album, and you can hear my music at marciannovelli.com. I also recently released my award-winning documentary, Walking Proof, which chronicles the making of my debut solo album. You can watch it for free at marciannovelli.com/walkingproof. Make sure to follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Spotify, which are all /Marcio Novelli.
And I'm working on websites for various artists at the moment, also in the early stages of my first book. You can check out my work, my blog post at electrickiwi.co.uk. You'll find me on Twitter and Instagram as Electric Kiwi, and on Facebook as Electric Kiwi Design.
This episode was brought to you by our wonderful and amazingly wicked sponsors, Chris Keaton, Alyssa Parma, Buck Naked Soap Company, and Social Surge. All links are in the show notes, so make sure to check them out. And just a little extra thing, Buck Naked Soap Company is a completely vegan, raw vegan soap company, so I'm excited about that.
And if you'd like to sponsor the show, visit patreon.com/bridgetheatlantic.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show, man. I love your energy, and I love what you're doing, and, you know, just keep fucking rocking.
Thanks. You guys too. I love it. It's nice to hear people who are so clearly motivated. Like, you guys are up to lots of cool things. It's one of the things I struggle with in the creative community, because I hang out, because I'm a hippie. I'm a hippie in the sense that I love nature and I love the kind of chilled, connected vibes. But like, I'm what I'd call a functional hippie. Like, I have shit that I want to get done, you know? And like, so a lot of my friends are these incredibly creative people, and they just sit around talking about all the amazing things they're going to do, smoking weed and not doing any of those things. And so it's nice to hear people who are like pushing the art forward and doing it and taking the challenging steps. So thank you guys for doing that as well.
Thank you.
Well, man, there's nothing more common than the talented, unsuccessful man, right?
Yeah.
And it's the easy part, coming up with the ideas, being creative. It's the doing the work, people. Let all our viewers and listeners know that. You got to fucking do the work. I mean, most successful people don't even have that great ideas. They just work hard. So mm-hmm. Rock on, brother.
That's it.
Awesome. All right, come back soon, okay?
Yeah, man.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bridge the Atlantic. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes.
You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so connect with us on there and let us know what you think of the show.
Thanks for being awesome, and we'll see you next week.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.